Thank you, Miss Vivian. My, my. I believe the Lord did give you your song back. Dr. Brooks, occasionally we get excited around here. And take your time today. We're going to stay with you. You can, take your time and feed us well as you always do. Our special guest speaker today needs no introduction, not only here at Abundant Life, but anywhere in our area. He's given his life to us, to our children, and to our children's children. He has been an educator all of his life. The first time I met him, he doesn't remember this, I was 14 years old. I was a freshman at West Florence High School in the ninth grade. It was a brand new school, day one, and he was the assistant principal. He was a young man, still, even back then. And he spent a little while there, and most of you may remember him from his days as principal of Wilson High School, almost 30 years, I believe he said. Yeah, some of you served detention under this man. And he was the youngest principal ever, I believe, to a high school in South Carolina at age 29. He was assigned as principal of Wilson, served that school so well for 30 years, and then ultimately and most recently served as the school superintendent for Florence District 1. I can only imagine the headaches he had to deal with and all of the problem students and problem parents that he had to deal with, but he is a dear friend to this church and one of the elders and fathers in our city. He is a mentor, and the best thing I can say about him is he is a Christian man, and he models Christ-likeness everywhere he goes. Stand with me, if you will, and welcome back Dr. Allie Brooks as he comes.
Good morning. Have a seat, please. Pastor told me to take my time, so y'all know that's dangerous. I do want to say thank you. My parents taught me manners, and so the first thing you want to do when you're invited to somebody's house is to thank them. And Pastor Morris, Ms. Morris, to the officers and members and friends here at Abundant Life, and to those who are visiting. Every time I come here, I am humbled by the invitation. And it's not a day that goes by that I don't ride by this church and I look at the marquee. And I think about all of the times that I've spent here. You're talking about this Wednesday night fellowship. Now, if y'all haven't been before, I'm gonna tell you, you're going to miss a treat if you don't come. And those of us who love to eat, like yours truly, you will not be disappointed in the menu. But I said it all along, I say every year, that I come here to look at this congregation, to see the diversity here, to see the Spirit of God at work here among all persons that are here, and the genuine fellowship. You know, America needs to look at this congregation and see the genuineness in serving God. Not that we all agree, but we agree on one thing. When we come into the house of the Lord, we don't come in here for any foolishness. Come here to worship. Now, it's raining outside, and y'all dare to come on in the house in spite of the rain. Yesterday, I got to tell you, now, one of you, I told the pastor, one of his members cuts my hair. And he's sitting over there, Carlos DeBose. And he told me he couldn't have me looking like somebody that was dragged out of the... So he made sure that my hair was right. And between he and my wife, because I try to go 2 weeks without a haircut, Pastor, but that doesn't work. And so I will tell you now, Carlos is an excellent barber, but I must warn you, when he sprays that stuff on your head, I call it fertilizer. You are guaranteed to be back in a week. That's how he stays in business. Now, he calls it alcohol. I call it fertilizer. But anyway, I want to commend the praise team for the music this morning, the beautiful solo that was just given, pastor's prayers, and the warmth that you greeters give when you come into the door. We were greeted by a gentleman with an umbrella who would not let passengers get wet coming out. And, you know, little things like that mean a lot. People take a lot for granted. But you know, that's something you don't have to do. There's nothing like going to a church and being greeted by somebody who seems like they've been baptized in dill pickle juice. I say, good morning.
Morning.
How are you? Fine. Makes you want to turn around and go somewhere else. But anyway, my sister is here, my wife, and my daughter, youngest daughter, our niece, and great-grand nephew among the visitors here. And I know I always get a pleasure in seeing some of my former students, whether they're at West Lawrence or at Wilson or anywhere else. And I told the pastor, I was in a grocery store and some of the members who I don't know would come up to me and say, oh, we're looking forward to hearing you Sunday. And I don't know this person. And so, but it goes to show you, I tell you, and for our young people who are here, it always behooves us to be on our best behavior no matter where you are. Because you don't know who's looking at you. And some of the best sermons, perhaps the best sermons in the world, are the sermons that are seen and are not preached. And the best sermons that are preached are the ones that are lived. So anyway, my sister would not teach me how to play the piano. And I'll let her tell you why. But anyway, we love hymns. And I wanted to share a few with you this morning. The dentist hymn is Crown Him with Many Crowns. The weatherman's hymn is There Shall Be Showers of Blessings. The contractor's hymn is The Church's One Foundation. The tailor's hymn is Holy, Holy, Holy. The golfer's hymn is There's a Green Hill Far Away. The politician's hymn is Standing on the Promises. The optometrist's hymn is Open My Eyes That I Might See. The IRS agent's hymn is I Surrender All. The gossip's hymn is Pass It On. The electrician's hymn is Send the Light. And this one is one of my wife's favorites, the shopper's hymn, Sweet By and By. Now, for those of us who like to speed on the highway, I have a few hymns for you. 45 miles an hour, God will take care of you. 55 miles an hour, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. 65 miles an hour, nearer my God to thee. 75 miles an hour, nearer, still nearer. 85 miles an hour, this world is not my home. 95 miles an hour, Lord, I'm coming home. And over 100 miles an hour, precious memories. Now, I had some mothers here, but y'all didn't come here for me to make y'all hee 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 ha ha ha. But you know, worship is not something boring. They think Christians don't like to laugh, but Christians have a good time. And hopefully when we leave here today, that you will have heard something that will be meaningful to you personally and to all of us as a congregation. I want us to read responsively. The first scripture that I want to refer to this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15, okay? 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. And I want us to read it responsively. I'm going to read the odd number verses, and you read the even number. That work all right? Can y'all see? Can y'all see? Am I blocking your view? Now tell me if I am now. Okay, you can see all right? All right. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And God said unto him, because thou had asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And Solomon woke, and behold, it was a dream. I want us to share this morning from the subject, a God-centered approach to leadership. A God-centered approach to leadership. Now, I appreciate your working with me with this. You did a beautiful job. But this scripture, the setting is very clear. The place is in Gibeon. The time is by night. Jesus came to Solomon at night, and you know, you can dream in the day, but at night there are less distractions. So he came at night. And the manner in which he came, it was in a dream while he was asleep. Then you see the gracious offer God made to Solomon. He said, "Ask what I shall give thee. And the request Solomon made to God was that he acknowledged, first of all, the great goodness that he was to his father, David, as you just read. And Solomon humbled himself. Now, let me stop here and say to you, one thing's for certain that leadership is not, and that is not about being the boss. Leadership is about service. It is about service, and then there's a humbleness that was shown here by Solomon. You know, some people, when you offer to give them a promotion or something, well, it's about time, you know. You should have done this a long time ago. You know, no humility. And the book tells us that humility comes before honor. But in addition to this, Solomon humbling himself, he acknowledged a sense of not being equipped to lead. He said, Lord, I'm just a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in, but all these numbers of people, too numerous to be numbered, and you, here you are, you have appointed me instead of David, my father. And then the key to what I want to share with you this morning is that Solomon asked for wisdom. Wisdom. A lot of people got the wrong idea about what a leader is about. It is not about being a show-off. It's not about trying to impress people with the position that you have. Because really, people follow who they have respect for. And just because you're in a position doesn't mean that you are an effective leader. You got the position, but you don't necessarily have the respect of the persons that you supervise. So he said, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. In other words, a leader has to have, or needs, an effective leader needs to have a conscience. You just don't do anything and everything. You need to be thinking about the people that you work with, that you serve, you know, and not worrying about trying to be a big shot. And God gave this favorable response. He gave to his request. He told him, I'm going to give you the spirit of discernment. And I'm also going to give you something you didn't ask for. Because see, first of all, you know, the Lord has a keen sense of humor. You know, some people, when you given a position, you know, you want to immediately fix some people. And I don't know, if some of us had our way, we would ask the Lord to fix some people that are in our lives that we don't necessarily agree with. But we want to make sure that we have their attention. But the thing about it is, God said, I'm going to give you some riches, honor. In other words, I'm going to do some things for you that will make you greater than anyone ever before. But also, if we look there in the scriptures, he said, God said, now, I'm going to give you this thing, but there was condition. If you walk in my ways and obey my commandments, then I will give you long life. That's very, very important. Now, let's dig a little further here. Wisdom has three characteristics. First one is insight. The second one is discernment. And the third is understanding. Insight is the power or act of seeing into a situation. Now, young people, I know some of you think that we elders don't know what we're talking about. You know, you know it, but you don't think we know it. Okay? Well, let me tell you a secret. When your parents ask you a question, they already know the answer. You can't fool them. My daughter was telling me the other day, she was going a certain place, and she was just telling me, she the only thing, when she calls the house and I answer the phone, she said, "Where's mom?" That's her second thing, "Where's mom?" But she had shared something with her mother, and her mother shared with her an insight into why she was going where she was going. And I want you young people, what you must understand, wisdom is gained by experience and longevity. There isn't anything, young people, that you can do under the sun that hasn't been tried before. Okay? Your parents are telling you, don't put your hand on the stove because the stove is hot. Okay? The stove is hot. So listen to your parents, okay? Because first of all, when you think about trying to deceive your parents, first of all, it's a test to see whether or not you're going to be truthful. So before you ask for a privilege, they're going to test you on whether or not you can be trusted to tell them the truth. That's another sermon, but we'll go on with that. Discernment, point of characteristic number two of wisdom. That's a spiritual gift that enables one to have the ability to see differences and make intelligent choices, to detect with the eyes and other senses than vision. If you don't have anything else, young people, and all of us under the sound of my voice, we need to have the spirit of discernment. When you walk into a situation, and those of you who are in school, I mean, you know, you will gain, as the longer you live, the idea of knowing in whose presence you need to remain or remove yourself. When somebody's coming up to you, and some of us as adults haven't learned that yet, but you know when somebody's up to no good. When somebody's coming up to you and they're not saying anything complimentary, the best thing for you to do is say, "How are you? Have a blessed day. Keep moving." Because don't stay there and engage in a conversation that you know is not going to be healthy for anybody. Also, young people, when your parents tell you, you know, today they got these clothing. Ladies, it's still right to dress modestly. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you this, not just as a husband and as a father, but as a man. When you're wearing clothing that is not long enough to cover the subject, the man is going to look. I'm telling you this as a man. I'm not going to ask the men to say amen or not. I don't want y'all to give away the truth, okay? But you can say on your breast, "Amen, Mr. Brooks." There is something that you need to have, that spirit of discernment, to know who you need to be hanging around. You need to know that. Don't follow the crowd. Especially when the crowd is up to no good. You have to make decisions for yourself. And a leader is not just somebody in government, but mothers and fathers are leaders in the home. And they are the first teachers. And there are things in the house that you are not going to let go on, regardless of who's doing it in the neighborhood. I always tell a story. One of our children would tell me they wanted to, "Daddy, we want to go to the club." I said, "No, no, no. You run this house just like a prison." I said, "That is correct." inmate to your cell. You can't let your children do anything and everything they want to do. World won't operate that way. You got to have some discipline. You got to have it. Then the next step is understanding, which means to grasp the meaning, okay? When you're going shopping, something as simple as going shopping, and you go and your parents or somebody ask you or your wife, a husband say, I want to get a dozen eggs. You just don't go to the store and just pick up a carton of a dozen eggs. You better open it up and pick every last egg up to make sure that it's the crack side is not on the downside, on the inside. You learn that through experience. You learn that by having wisdom. And this is what Solomon said. He's going to be a leader. And one of the things he wants to be sure, he wants to be equipped with the necessary tool to be able to discern between good and bad. You got to have that. And two examples in the Bible, Mark the 10th chapter, verse 35 through 45, where James and John, the sons of Zebedee, went to Jesus and asked to sit on the right hand or the left. And Jesus said, that's not mine to give, but it's given to those for whom it is prepared. And so they said, he asked them, can y'all drink of the cup that I drink of? And they said, oh yeah, you know people, you know, who want what they want. No matter what you ask them, they got it, okay? They want a promotion. All right, are you sure you can do this? Oh, yeah, I got it. So-and-so, oh, yeah. But Jesus said, even I, the Son of Man, didn't come to be ministered unto, but I came to minister and give my life a ransom for many. Humility, again. And then, when there was a murmuring in the church in the book of Acts, okay, and we can put that up there on the screen, staff member. Acts the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Okay? Let's read that together. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there came across murmuring. I'm sorry. Go ahead and read, y'all, because I'm not doing too well. Verse 2. All right, let's stop right there. Who were they looking for? You see the qualities they were looking for? Some people, it's not just the pastor's responsibility to have these qualities. If we're going to have the right servants in the church, it is responsibility and it behooves each of us to be honest, okay? What is it? Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You don't let anybody get in your business. You know, some people, beware of this phrase, if I was you. Y'all ever had anybody tell you that? If I was you, I would do so and so. No. Because if you were me, you'd do the same thing that I'm doing. But if you're not locked in with the word of God, you're going to do what's in the world and not what's Christian-like. All right. So now as leaders and potential leaders, are we going to choose to walk in the way of the world or by the standards that God has set for men? Two books in the Bible that I always encourage people to read. One is the book of Psalms, because it teaches us the right relationship we should have with God. Starting at the first psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now I know I brought something here that I want to illustrate. I want to make it real plain. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. You get that, young people? Okay. Thy word, Route 66, the Bible. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's going to help me see where I'm walking. See how I'm talking. See how I'm living. Okay? And we have our discussions in our family with our children. But Daddy, that was good in your day. But that ain't good today. These guys ain't going for that. So my wife says, well, what does the book say? Then the subject gets changed right quickly. But the book has not changed. And I want to tell you, young people, don't compromise yourself to please your friends. Okay? Because everybody ain't doing it. Everybody's not doing it. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, you young ladies, a man can get away with more than a lady. It's because of the makeup. Let's just talk about sex for a moment. Who does the brunt of the burden fall on if someone gets pregnant? Who's carrying that child? It's the woman. Now, if the man is going to support, that's one thing. But we need godly people. And young ladies, look for godly men, okay? Don't be going for somebody, ooh, I like the way he walk. I like the way he look. That ain't in the Bible. That's in the world. And when we go home today and we watch television, it is hard to turn to a television show today that doesn't have profanity. And the book tells us to stay away from profane language. It is not right. I don't care who uses it. And we hear it in government. They're wrong. And anybody who uses it is wrong. Okay? That shows it's somebody who doesn't have a vocabulary. You can communicate without cussing. I ain't gonna say curse. Cussing. We down in the South. Cussing. When I grew up, there was a bunch of cussing in the neighborhood. But that didn't make it right. We would go to church sometimes and something would happen, and we can hear one of the sisters say, I'm going to lay down my religion. Look out. Look out when they say that. Psalms brings you comfort. Many of us know the 23rd Psalm. Verses I read every day. Psalm 1, Psalm 15, Psalm 23, Psalm 26, Psalm 27, Psalm 31, Psalm 35, Psalm 37, Psalm 91, Psalm 119, 105, and Psalm 121. And my wife always get after me because we go and mentor in the morning. You know what time it is? Because I'll be in the office reading. Now, those of you who don't know what an office is, y'all know what the office is, don't you? So I don't have to explain nothing. That's the only way you get some privacy. That's right. Because if you're in there for a long time, ain't nobody coming in. The second book of the Bible that I want to encourage people to read is the book of Proverbs. Every day I want to say to you, Abundant Life, like the day is the 13th. Every day of the month, you read that chapter that corresponds in Proverbs with the day of the month. Every day, do that. And see, won't it make a difference in your life? Proverbs teaches us how to be in a right relationship with each other. Psalms, the right relationship with God. Proverbs, oh my goodness, the right relationship with man and woman. Let me hurry on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's put that up there. Trust in the Lord. Read that, y'all. That'll work, y'all. I'm a witness. Got any witnesses in here? That'll work. All you got to do is acknowledge. In all your ways. And young people, when you get up in the morning, you pray before you go to school. That's one of the reasons I said that prayer was not taken out of the school. It's still in school. Still in school. I took Route 66 with me every day. I have it right here in my coat pocket. But the fact of the matter is, so much emphasis is being put on with prayer in the school, we need to pray more at home. Because a lot happens before at home, before we get to school, and before we get to work. Proverbs, let me give you some wisdom scriptures here. I'm not going to go over all of them here because my time is about up. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 35. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Okay? For the merchandise of it is what? Then what? There was a story about a preacher that got up on the pulpit and was preaching, and he said if he had his way, he would throw all the gold and the silver in the river, all of the women, wild women and the wild men, and throw them in the river. And so the minister of music got up and said, Pastor, the invitation hymn is yield not to temptation. But after hearing such an inspiring sermon, we need to change it to the song, Shall We Gather at the River? Proverbs 4, 1 through 7. Let's read that together. With all of that getting, I don't care how smart we are, we got to get understanding. Husbands, fathers, mothers, wives, in our homes. That's the first leadership in the home. All right? Let's go to Proverbs 9 and 10, chapter 9, verse 10. Let's read that together. Fear is not like scary movie. Respect for the word of God. That's the fear. That's the fear. All right? And then the last verse I want to give you is Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. Let's read that together. Okay. I don't think like you do. Those people who coming up telling you, talking about, if I were you, I don't think like you do. And I don't act like you act. Because God's ways are different than the world's. Okay? You don't do what's popular. So my friends here at Abundant Life and elsewhere, we need to have all leadership ask for wisdom as Solomon did, so that we do not lose our moral compass that will lead us in godly decisions and behaviors. The question is not whether we say or what we say and do is illegal or legal. The question that needs to be asked when we do anything, is it godly? Is it godly whether or not we're in government, you know, cities, state, county, national, is what we do in godly? I mean, lying is not illegal, but is it godly? What do we say to our children? Huh? It's okay to lie? The book says no. For the Bible is right when it is stating that whatsoever a man or a woman soweth, that shall what? Wisdom, insight, spiritual discernment, and understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. May God bless you.